Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Going on up here.
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 4:02 with Isaac and Suk here on 1080 The Fan. Let's go down to Corvallis. The Pac-12 has canceled fall sports. No football. Oregon State president, he assumed office July 1 of this year. And wow, what a year to assume office. F. King Alexander, the president of Oregon State, here he is with us on The Fan. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah, doing good. You got a real chance to just kind of settle in with, you know, no big decisions on the horizon, right?
Yeah. Well, they're big decisions for every university in the country, and so we're not all alone on all these decisions.
Well, I got to ask you, like, right off the top, because, you know, obviously, the, you know, being a sports show and this is a national topic, but when you're university president, I mean, you're dealing with a $60 to $100 million athletic budget and sometimes school budgets to the tune of you know, $6, $7, $8 billion. Just how much of your day-to-day process of running a university do you even think about athletics?
Well, I've been doing this for 20 years in four different states, and I've been at basketball schools at Murray State, baseball at Long Beach State, and LSU for the last 7 years, and sports is a big part of what our university does, and it helps us in recruiting. It's the front porch of the university for many friends and alumni. I would say quite a bit during the season we spend on athletics. We want people to come and people to be safe in these environments in this day and age. A safe environment is very important for people to enjoy the season, whether it's basketball, baseball, women's soccer, or football. And so when school starts, sports takes up not a disproportionate amount of time, but enough time that we get it right and we do it the right way.
What percentage of your budget is athletics?
Well, athletics is $80 million. So it's an $80 million athletic budget. 58 of that is football. So it takes up, we get about, it's probably about 20% of what the state gives us. Yeah. But then tuition and fees kicks in. So it's a small percentage. It's not a major percentage. But football is a major percentage. And many of our other sports operate based on the revenues generated through TV and revenues generated through ticket sales during those seven Saturday afternoons or Saturday evenings.
So when you talk about, obviously, if football can't be played and we'll don't know what's happened in the spring, from a monetary standpoint, whether you're talking about athletics and then just in general, you know, because of COVID, what kind of losses are you looking at as a university?
As a university, we just had a board meeting today and we tallied our losses at about $217 million. And that includes the 58 in football. So overall, that's auxiliaries that we will not be serving or not be utilizing, and having a considerable amount of students not here on campus, roughly 80% not being here, living here, which means that their residence hall, their fees, and a lot of these areas will be rebated back to them, given back to them. So it's a $217 million hit for the entire university. It's about a $58 million hit for our athletic department.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fees, but tuition stays the same, though?
Tuition's going to stay the same. They have access either through the eCampus or our eCampus or through our remote learning, and but which they can do here, they can do at home, they can learn where they want to learn. But they have access to world-class faculty teaching these classes, and we have a great jump as a university on a lot of the remote learning, because we have been doing, well, our eCampus for one has been around for two decades and has been ranked as the third or fourth best public university eCampus in the country. So we'll have about 100 of our sections, 100 of our programs that are on the eCampus, another 300 that will be delivered remotely to students that will come to Corvallis and live in their apartments and take the courses, and that may want to be around their friends, or they can stay home and learn if the family needs them at home, if they need to keep their jobs, part-time jobs, because of maybe the parents have lost employment. There's just every individual family has a different set of factors. They just need to weigh themselves.
This is F. King Alexander. He's the president at Oregon State with Isaac and Suk on the Fan. I have a kid in college. My kid's at the University of Kansas, and he chose to stay, and he's powering through. My partner here, Suk, has a kid who's about to go to college, but he chose not to go for his freshman year. What is enrollment like? What are you seeing out there? What do your peers tell you about college enrollment just in general around the country?
Yeah, what I've noticed, and I've talked to many of my peers, and I follow this very closely, the prediction is that college enrollments are going to be down about 10 to 20%. I know University of Kentucky just released they're down about 15%. We're very lucky. We're actually coming in right where we thought we'd come in with a little bit of an increase. Our international students trying to get into the country are limited, so we'll probably take some enrollment losses in the graduate level with some of the international student populations. But our undergraduate population is very robust. Our deposits are up from last summer, and we'll just have to wait and see. We don't start till September 16th because we're on the quarter system. So we have about 4 weeks to watch everybody else, to watch and learn from other universities. But right now we're feeling pretty good about enrolling.
I want to ask you too, now, I mean, back to the kind of the main topic at hand here of obviously postponing football or maybe canceling altogether, depending on what happens in the spring. Walk us through this process. And was it fairly easy? What kind of debate, and just how challenging was it or not to come to this decision?
It was not an easy decision for any of the 12 Pac-12 presidents. And I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision for the Big Ten presidents either. We know that the student athletes have been here working out, and our hearts go out to them, at least for the fall sports. That's why we hope we're postponing this. Hopefully we can pick them all up in the spring. The medical advice, the safety, health, and wellness of our student athletes is what we're concerned about. And we know so little about this virus, and we're not where we should have been when we were talking about going forward at the 1st of June or the end of May. We're in much worse shape nationally. And now we have the southern part of the Pac-12 conference that has been tremendously impacted in the L.A. Basin and in Arizona. And it's not controlled. It's the virus has consequences that we were just made aware of. The heart conditions that are caused by the virus, and numerous other complications that are starting to surface once an individual gets this virus and quarantines, but then the complications set in afterwards. So we don't know enough about this virus. We don't have a vaccine for this virus, and the risk of spreading it throughout our teams and team sports is real. And so we made this decision based on the safety, health, and wellness. Had nothing to do with the revenue issue, which we're just going to have to figure out how to get through. But this is a health safety issue for our student athletes, and we were all unified to agree that it's too risky right now to go forward.
Did you ever, at any point during this, see a path to playing in the fall?
Well, we were actually planning to, if this would have gotten, if the pandemic had gotten better, and it was much more under control, this is a much easier decision to make for us. But the way it's going, and the way it's kind of foolish to look around the country and see that some of this pandemic issue has been politicized, and that has nothing to do with this. We made our decision because we do not want to take the risk. The consequences of the risk far outweigh us going forward and just seeing what might happen that might be positive.
So when you see, you mentioned you've been around the country and you were at a place at LSU, which last time I checked would be the definition of a football school. So when you see the SEC plowing ahead and you hear their medical experts, or at least you hear from the athletic director saying their medical experts say that this is fine, we have a way to go ahead. How much, in your opinion, is that actual medical advice, and how much of that is pressure from being down in the South to not cancel football?
Well, there's certainly a lot of pressure on that. I do believe the SEC was one of the last of the Big Five to move this season back. That's due to the pressure that exists. And I, having grown up in Gainesville, Florida, the same kind of pressures at the University of Florida. It means a big deal to the state. It means a big deal to the morale of the state. This isn't over. We'll see what happens with our SEC schools. I just wish them the safest environment possible that I hope they can provide for their student athletes. There is a political part of the equation that does permeate a number of the states in the South that just didn't have anything to do with the Pac-12 decision. They had nothing to do with politics, but the political environment is very, very different.
Wanted to get your opinion on the how high up the food chain that Pac-12 hashtag We Are United player demand statement went up. What was your reaction to that, and what were the conversations of the powers that be about what the players were demanding?
Well, I think really the Pac-12 office, with the help of the one of the eight athletic directors who oversees the committee for the athletic directors, they're the individuals that met, and they had a number of Zoom calls with the We Are United group. And I know Jaden is a great young man. He's the one man from Oregon State that signed on. And in fact, the presidents didn't really get into addressing that issue because we already are protecting every scholarship. And if those individuals had opted not to play, then their scholarships are completely protected. And we've given every student athlete, prior to making this announcement, we've given every student athlete the option to opt out of playing, but their scholarships are fully protected.
Yeah, I wondered if that got up to you, or if that was something more handled with the ADs and Pac-12. But one of the things they did say in there, the Pac-12 players had an example of, say, Stanford, and I forget what sport they used, but I think they said something like volleyball. If it gets canceled, they would want the endowment of these universities to be able to pick up those costs and keep those sports going. Is that feasible? Is that something? A lot of people talk about these endowments. They see the big money endowments. They go, well, why don't they just pay for sports out of that?
Yeah, that's sort of the great misnomer about endowments. Endowments are there, and endowments are about 99% restricted. They're restricted to certain scholarships for certain colleges. They're restricted for specific faculty chairships. They're restricted to higher faculty programs. That's the one thing people look at a big, robust endowment and they say, well, let's just use that. I've even had state legislators say, why don't you use that to just keep your lights on? Mm-hmm. Said, well, if you use your endowment resources for the reasons that are not that go beyond what they're restricted to use, that you'll never raise another dollar. Nobody will ever give to your institution. If you're diverting resources that they've given you to build your endowment, and you're diverting it to operational expenses, that will end your endowment down the road.
So when you look at, you're talking about a $200+ million loss, you're talking about a $58 million athletic budget loss here. Have you had, I'm sure you've had discussions, but is there any decisions been made or how are you going to handle that? I'm assuming that there's going to have to be cuts. Are we talking about sports going away? Are we talking about furloughed employees? How do you handle this sort of kind of, I'm assuming in your 20 years, an unprecedented loss?
Mm-hmm. Well, it really is. And having gone through furloughs in California for a couple of years during some of the bad years in California, we're actually doing pay reductions that begin next month. Everybody's agreed. Our unions have agreed pay reductions. There are some layoffs. Athletics, I believe, is already laid off 22 staffers in the athletic department. So there's a lot of trimming of the budgets, hiring freezes. No, we're not filling positions that we don't need to fill right now. And athletics, we're looking to possibly utilizing the fund that's being set up by the Pac-12, which would be a loan or a bond to help us get through this year and then pay it back over an extended period of time when we're much more financially able to do it with new TV contracts and other things. So we're going to piece this together and we're going to do it. We've been through it in 2012. It didn't hit athletics, but now it's hitting everybody.
Yeah. So you do plan on using that Pac-12 bond program?
We would be one of the institutions very, very interested in utilizing that program just to spread out the pain over the years,
right.
Many years.
Right. All right. F. King Alexander. Well, it was great talking to you, and maybe we'll talk to you again down the road.
That would be great. Maybe even in person someday.
You bet. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have you in studio anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, insightful.
Yeah, you see a very measured approach, but you can tell it's all hands on deck, man. And I do not envy that man's eye calendar that, you know, over the last month or two and you know, over the next handful of months looking ahead of trying to piece your way, through this thing.
Well, text 503-250-1080. Maybe we'll do a quick F. King Alexander postgame show.
There you go.
Coming up next.
Absolutely.
And then we'll get to In the News. Big COVID numbers. Well, not big. Well, the new COVID numbers.
Yeah, but are they big? Are they medium?
They're bigger than yesterday.
Yeah, that's not good. God damn it.
Yeah. So it is 418 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, F. King Alexander, which we learned that the F stands for Fielding. He's the new Oregon State.
Fielding King Alexander.
Oh, I thought it was Fielding.
No, that guy was meant to be a university president or a judge or something.
He was.
Jeebus. That's a great name.
The new Oregon State president just joined us. I guess my takeaway is a couple of things. One, for as long as you and I have been sitting here kind of trying to think about what this could look like.
Yeah.
I know you've been warning of, you know, like just the worst possible things, you know, these programs go away and this and that. Listening to him, and he's at a school that is far more cash strapped than some of the others.
Sure.
It sounds to me, I was mildly encouraged by him just saying, hey, look, we're going to piece this together. We've had some furloughs. We've certainly had to lay off some people.
Pay freezes, no more hiring.
Pay freezes. We're going to utilize this Pac-12 loan program. And maybe, you reconvene next fall and you start up football. And look, it sucked. And it sucks for those people that lose their jobs and such. But you got through it with sports kind of coming back as it was normal before. I was mildly encouraged by that.
Sure. And this is why we said that, the Power Fives are much more likely to come out of this. That loan program could be a savior for smaller budgeted schools. See Oregon State, see Washington State. There has been some talk of whether schools that are pretty high in debt. And this is the one good thing that Oregon State has going on is Oregon State paid down a bunch of debt. Right. They took some criticism for people for not spending and as opposed to what they did, which was get down debt. But schools like Washington and UCLA is one that has taken on a bunch. Are they going to be willing to take on another 80 plus million in debt? But that loan program could really be a lifeline. But I asked the question of when you get outside of the Power Five, is that going to be available? Which is why, again, for all the talk of what this could do, it's the smaller schools, the ones that I'm worried about. Whether that's at the FBS level or the FCS level, they don't have those sorts of bailouts. But that was, I thought that was a measured approach and you know, maybe if you're an Oregon State fan and just a fan of any school, maybe that gave you a little, I don't know, a little better feeling that you're going to be able to weather this.
Yeah. Well, that was my one takeaway. That and the endowment answer I thought was good because yeah,
money's not going anywhere.
Yeah, like people don't know that. Like that's good to get that out there because that was in the Pac-12 players' statement of, when they listed all their demands. It's said in there, you know, for example, yeah. if Stanford lose, you know, can't pay for its volleyball team or whatever, then just take it out of the endowment. You can't do that.
No, not going to happen. So,
and I know that's a common thing. I think people think that, I mean, they look at that pool of money and go, well, my gosh,
yeah,
peel off a few mil.
Yeah. Well, and you also wonder, too, for a program like Oregon State and Washington State, for example, that run a little more lean and mean, I'm not going to say it's easier for them because obviously they don't have the revenue streams, but they're already running a pretty tight program. Whereas like Stanford, for instance, remember Stanford cut all those sports, but Stanford had a huge roster of those sports to begin with that a lot of those other schools don't. So you wonder if some of the bigger schools, where they're talking about USC or Stanford or you know, whatever, UW, you wonder if maybe they take on a model that is a little more Oregon State, Washington State, that where you do have to scale it back a little bit. And do you see some of those sports, the non-revenue generating sports, do you see them go away? I don't know if there's going to be one universal approach, but every school right now, I'm sure, is having nonstop meetings about exactly what this looks like because that money just evaporates.
Here's a text to the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Isn't it great talking to someone who's smart and actually knows what's going on instead of all the crap that flies around the interwebs?
Yes.
And yeah, that's true. That's why I like to say, no matter, I have hot COVID takes, right? You have hot COVID takes. Everybody has hot COVID takes. Everybody.
Yeah.
But what I would encourage people to do is just kind of keep them to your, like, do the best you can. Be respectful of other people in terms of the masking, things like that, whether you believe it or not. But just let's all shut up about our hot COVID takes because the reality is
we don't know.
We know nothing. No. And these people that are there, like Mr. Alexander, to make these decisions, get a lot more info than we do.
Sure.
And so then we sit on our little high horse out here, some of us, and say, oh, what a terrible decision. You have no idea, none, what went into that decision. You're just basing it off of your own sensibilities when it, and what you think about this virus. And it's just, we're all, including the highest up powers that be, all the way down to guys like you and me, Suk, everybody's trying to wrap their head around this. This is a new one.
They have a responsibility,
and
though,
way more responsibility
that you can't fathom.
That's right. And it's like, that's why it's like you're, that's why I was saying the other day, our opinions about this virus just don't matter.
Yeah. So
just just get out there with your damn mask on and hopefully it'll be over soon.
It's why I roll my eyes when I hear Lou Holtz or Scott Frost or someone that just wants to come out and shred the Big Ten and shred the Pac-12. You're not in those meetings. You don't know what the liability issues are. You don't know what you're hearing from those doctors that say this heart condition may end up killing a handful of athletes. You have no idea.
Well, it's not to say those people shouldn't be criticized, but at the same time, I think when with this particular thing, a pandemic like this, 99% of people are so damn over their skis about what they're talking about with this crap.
The other thing,
you're just listening to Alex Jones, or you're listening to this guy, or you're listening to that left wing nut who, yeah. You know, it's like, it's just noise.
Yeah, like you're hearing that this is either the worst thing ever, yeah, and it's going to kill us all, right. And then you're hearing it's not anything.
Like he was saying, he put it great. I thought it was great. He said, none of this should be political.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it has become political, and he's so right about that. This has nothing to do with anybody's political affiliation. This is something we're all in this together, and I just thought that was refreshing for him to say that because—
And I thought he was real honest, too, when he talked to, because he was at LSU. And he said, yeah, there's some political pressure. Of course there is. If you don't think that boosters and congressmen and other people down south and donors, if you don't think that that is the main reason why the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC are pushing through this, then you're fooling yourself. F. King Alexander is the one when he asked, someone asked him, I think it was, Nick Dash was the one I saw it reported, he asked President Alexander, what is the SEC, or what are you seeing that the SEC isn't in regards to playing? And he said, reality. But, you know, he admitted there that a lot of that is just there is so much pressure applied down there to push through this. And you know, that's just the reality of it. Whether you agree with it or not, they are going to do everything humanly possible to push through. And I hope at some point, if it does get bad enough, that health and safety and common sense will end up overcoming that. But maybe they can push through. Maybe in 6 months from now, when this is all over, if they end up playing, maybe they can give everyone a big fat "I told you so." I mean, we won't know, but that's just that scares me a little bit when that sort of pressure overcomes what seems to be, at least to me, common sense.
So let's all keep our hot COVID takes to ourselves, right? We're all COVIDed out anyway. Let's just try to get through this. Keep our head down.
Yeah.
Wear our masks.
Yell at the person at Walmart or
Q-teen.
Freak out at Costco or New Seasons or whatever.
Socially distance, wash your hands, and before you know it, maybe, just maybe, we'll, you know, be able to put it behind us.
Yeah, until the next thing comes along. Until the killer hornets or the earthquake or whatever.
I don't know about you. I really am tired of hot COVID take guy.
It is.
Either side, doesn't matter.
It's a bit exhausting.
It just is like, shut up.
It is a bit exhausting.
All right, coming up next, it is time for In the News, all the latest. Well, we have to talk about the COVID numbers, but we've got some other stuff, too. How about the cow rescue, cow chase rescue?
How about that? Well, it's, you know, the olds.
The olds. God, they're cute. But, man.
And apparently they're getting bullied by cows.
This would be terrifying. That next, but first, Mike with Sports Center.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we move on. On a fantastic fan frenzied Friday. It is August 14, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman today. Whoops. Hold on.
Uh-oh. What'd you do now?
Forgot that part.
Forgot to look up what day it was?
Yes. Coming right at you.
Then there's a website that tells you what national day it is.
Yeah. Unprepared newsman Isaac Ropp.
I fall on the sword for that.
Somewhere Joe Donlin is disgusted with you.
Oh, look at this. National Wiffle Ball Day.
Oh, I love a good wiffle.
Yes.
I miss it. My mom sold her home, and that was our wiffle ball field. My yard's not really made for wiffle. We would just go next door and play, and a little sad. That's the end of an era. 35 plus years of wiffle ball in a perfect backyard. And now gone.
National Kool-Aid Day.
Yeah.
How are we doing on Kool-Aid? Do the kids still drink Kool-Aid?
I don't know. Who the hell? Really?
Or are they moving on to...
I feel like you've moved on to better things.
Better things?
Well, Kool-Aid's...
Energy drinks?
Kool-Aid... Bang, Four Loko. Kool-Aid's awful, right? I mean...
It really is.
It's this... You just, like, your teeth hurt just looking at a thing of Kool-Aid.
Your teeth rot just looking at them.
It's just, it's awful.
What was the last time you had Kool-Aid? Let's talk about that.
A decade?
Last time I had Kool-Aid.
Probably 30 years for me.
Was when I was like 15 in summer camp, and they had those like little small, completely clear bottles so you could see the color of the Kool-Aid with the weird twist off tops.
Yeah.
Did they bottle Kool-Aid?
Well, yeah, I think it was in those small ones, or maybe it was a different brand, but it was whatever Kool-Aid was in that. You know, those little tiny bottles, they came in little six packs, and they had the little, like, pull-off tops. They were completely plastic.
That's Kool-Aid?
I don't know if that's Kool-Aid. I thought it was.
Huh.
But
yeah, I always thought Kool-Aid.
That's the last time I had a drink like that. That was, like, 15 years
they
ago.
They do have them. Kool-Aid bursts.
Okay. Like, I know Kool-Aid makes a Capri Sun. Well, I mean, it's... They make a pouch that's like
it's not Capri Sun.
It's not Capri Sun, but it is a...
Capri Sun was great.
It is a direct competitor. I still enjoy a good Capri Sun.
Do you?
What was
the point of the Capri Sun? Like the way it was... like the little...
Yeah, the pouch and
why?
The straw.
Let me ask a question.
A little whimsy to
why?
It.
Why the small straw? Why the moon packaging?
Well, it's made for a lunch, right? It's made to put in a kid's lunchbox.
Sure.
And it's supposed to be like a better alternative.
Finish, it's nice and folded up flat.
Yeah.
There's no bottle.
My kids get them still, and so every now and then I enjoy one.
I don't know the answer. I'm just
damn, those bottles are
up.
So annoying when we're done with them. They're so hard to throw away.
Well,
maybe it's less waste to have the folding package.
I think there's just something
package.
Fun about having it. Like, it's a little juice pack.
It is very fun to hold.
Yeah. My kids to this day love it.
Or squeeze out at other people. I never did that, though.
People are saying that's a Kool-Aid jammer. That is, I remember those, yes. The Kool-Aid jammer.
323 new COVID cases in Oregon today.
That's up. That's not good.
That's up.
How many we got death-wise?
Two.
Well, that's better because we've had like 7 and 8 the last couple days.
I always feel weird you know, when you say something like that, because then I'm like, well, two people died.
I know, but I mean, look, people are going to die. I mean, that's, and we are in the middle of a global pandemic. So I think you're trying to, at this point, like reduce and try to get it trending in the right direction. I know.
Yeah,
the,
but that sucks when like you die and they're like, oh, who cares? Yeah, this is a great trend.
People are gonna die.
Yeah. Who was that?
Thanks, Vanessa Hudgens.
People are gonna die.
Shut up. the old folks.
Zach's video today.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta play that. Are we gonna play that?
Yes.
He's a real bro. The old folks home right by my house. Yeah. That's the new outbreak. At 37 cases.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's no good.
No, just a stone's throw. I ride by it just about every day. So, yeah, they had an outbreak there in Clark County, Cascade Park.
My kid works at an old folks home.
Yeah.
In Salina, in Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their staffers got COVID, tested positive.
Yeah.
And they were caring for one of his patients.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
No, it's scary.
So he's going to go hazmat.
I mean, you get an outbreak in one of those places, and it's...
Oh, it's bad.
That's the most serious of the serious.
That right there, it's scary.
Yeah, 37 cases over in Because
the olds, you know, those olds. Speaking of the olds, a cow chase led to a helicopter rescue.
Boy, you can't make this up.
No, I couldn't believe this when I read it, but then I looked at the olds, like, sitting there, and then I'm like, you know what? I kind of can believe this. Because the olds are just damn cute.
I know.
This was San Francisco area. A confrontation between an elderly couple and a cow and her calf required the intervention of the California Highway Patrol. This was in Northern California last weekend. Authorities said the unidentified couple had fallen to the ground after a cow chased them.
By the way, not a bull or anything.
No, it's just a cow.
It's just a cow.
Lynch Canyon Regional Park is where they were. And so the olds went down.
Yeah. The video, it's like the old lady, she's wearing like a sundress.
Yeah.
And just that shock white hair.
She looks like she's knitting a nice sweater while she waits for the helicopter. They had to roll out the chopper and airlift them out. Airlift them out of there. The cow had the little calf next to her. And of course she was being protective of that. But I guess the bovine was quite angry.
But an airlift? But the thing is, like, once the rescuers got there, you can't just put them like in a car or like a golf cart or something.
Or you can't just kind of get the cow out of there.
Yeah,
like,
no one can. Where's the rough talking stick? Why can't someone get?
It's just
it baffles me.
I tell you what,
that we needed a helicopter. Like, when I think of helicopter rescue, right, I think you're on a mountain stranded somewhere, you're out in the ocean, like you've fallen down a canyon. At least from the video that I can tell, they're in the middle of a dirt road and there's a field all around them and there's a cow like 10 feet away that's staring at them.
They cornered him. The cow cornered him.
But they're cornered into what? A big open field?
The corner. No, it's not. No, there's a fence. You can see the fence. I think they're in the corner of the fence.
That's hard to...
It is hard to see it, but I mean, just can you imagine you're the olds and you know you're old, so you just want to get out of there and live another couple days or whatever. But boy, is that demoralizing even when you're 75 years old?
All the things.
You're like, oh, man. Well, like it's one thing to have them swoop you up on like an ATV.
Sure.
It's another to have them airlift you out. I mean, are you just going, oh, my God, as you get twirled up to the... To the guy in the chopper.
To the waiting heavens above.
Who's probably laughing as he pulls you into the chopper.
I'm assuming that in all the years, if you're a helicopter rescue pilot, I'm assuming that this will be the greatest story you have. Like, you're sitting around at a party one day and someone's like, what? You work for LA County Fire and Rescue or whatever? It's like, oh, man, yeah, I fly the helicopter. Yeah, what's the most dangerous thing you've ever faced? You ever seen a cow? You ever been cornered by one in an empty field? Watch this. Like, you break out that video.
Yeah, I bet they have some good stories.
I'm sure they do. But
those bros.
A cow?
Yeah.
Is this the first time anyone in the history of cows or rescue that someone has had to be saved from a cow?
Well, they were hurt. The olds were hurt. They had injuries. There was no word on what happened to the mother cow or her calf, but I assume they just were doing cow things.
I'm sure they just went back to doing whatever they were doing before, which is being a cow.
But they lifted them 75 feet into the air.
Yeah. Look up the video. It's the damnedest thing. And the best part is because it's the California Highway Patrol, so like the camera like has like the little like there's like a green X on it. It's like a tactical camera. Like this is used for some sort of military operation. It's not. It's used. It's been used to like lift like Gertie up away from a cow. It's just the damnedest thing. That cow, and I feel bad because the old man's like laying on the ground.
Well, the other thing too is there's a guy. The cow's not like he's. You know what's that cow? She's like 10 to 15 feet away from
doing
them.
Doing nothing, just staring at them.
She looks on tilt, but she's just staring. And then the guy just walks right up to the olds like, hey, you guys okay? Yeah. You know, like the cow's not really any danger, but then they still airlifted him out anyway.
Well, I think maybe.
Why didn't they just walk him out of there?
Maybe at that point, once the helicopter has been dispersed, like, you're like, well, we're already here.
Well, it sounds like one of them might have been hurt, which is why they did that.
Well,
but
the old guy was laying down on the ground.
Do you think he said, get me to the chopper? Do you think he said that?
Big Schwarzenegger
fan. God, that'd be badass if he did.
I just...
Poor olds.
Poor olds. You know, it's... And we're all going to get there, right?
I know.
We can all mock this, but, you know, we all get to that point when just every little thing is going to terrify us, including cows.
Do you think they shot the cow?
I hope not.
They better not have.
D's out for Harambe sort of thing. Someone's like, we got a cow out here. It's causing real problems. It's got a taste for blood of the olds. We can't let it happen.
Did you see what the last remaining Blockbuster did?
I did. I actually thought this kinda was cool. Kind of cool.
We'll get to that next. 4:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up here. 10 minutes. If you're just tuning in, a lot of hot Blazer talk. In hour one, we had F. King Alexander, the president of Oregon State, on earlier. It's been an action-packed show.
Very sportsy.
Yeah, we've been sportsy this week.
Well, there's also been hot underwear talk, but don't forget.
That is true.
Yeah,
I don't think we came to a conclusion on hot underwear talk, but you really can't.
It's all preference.
Exactly,
personal
right?
preference. Like
everyone loves those Duluth Trading undies, but I hate them.
I like boxer briefs.
Sure.
And I want, you know, light, breathable.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
I can see you eventually going back to some old whiteies.
Some tighties.
Yeah.
I have never worn those.
Really? Not ever. Even when you were, like, a little kid?
No. I freeballed a lot.
I thought that was a standard. Like, especially
in
the Midwest.
Well, maybe little kid, yeah. But I remember freeballing and then, like...
I just kind of like what there's like there's a transition period because I always feel like you start at whitey tidies, then you move on to something else, and then eventually when you get old, you go back. Because all old men, like you see them in the gym, they're all wearing those.
They do, but I always feel like when I see that, one, it's unfortunate, but two, I always think they've always worn it, those, you know, like they just never switched out.
Because Suk's right, right? When you're a kid, you wear tighty whities.
Yeah.
And then you expand to boxers, full boxers, because you're like, oh, look at all the
space.
But
I don't think those old guys do.
And then you go to boxer briefs because it's a nice middle ground.
And then you go back. It's the circle of life, man. It's like, you know, you start off crapping your pants, and then you end up crapping your pants, and you go to the whitey tighties. It's all part of the circle of life. And then that music from The Lion King plays, and then you die. I mean, that's what happens. But I don't understand why the old men have to wear the really saggy whitey tidies.
Well, again, that because I think they've had them forever.
It just the elastic just gives out.
Yeah.
Oof.
Hmm.
My offensive line coach wore those, and I can't unsee that. You just can't. You see like an 80-year-old offensive line coach wearing those things, something hanging out the bottom of them. Keep you up at night.
Well, if you're missing the best of the 1990s, like wandering the aisles of a Blockbuster video store, and you live around Bend, your cravings can be satisfied.
Kids will never know the panic of having to get to a Blockbuster at like 3:30 in the afternoon on a Friday.
They will not.
Otherwise, Adam's family is going to be gone. All the copies are going to be rented.
That is so true.
Yeah.
They will never understand that plight.
You're like, hey, we got to get to Blockbuster now. Everything's going to be gone. It's the weekend.
Yeah, and then you would go in there and you would see, the new releases that were popular, they'd have walls of them.
Yeah.
but you'd just be looking for one or two. You, like, most of them would always be gone, but you'd be looking for one or two.
Yeah.
Or, like, looking for the employee, and if they're going around putting them back on the shelf, oh, can I grab that from you?
You're looking in the return box. You're like, hey, someone just returned that? I'm looking to rent it.
Yeah, that was true, too. You'd go in there and be like, hey, could we check your return box? He's like, sure. You know.
Blockbuster was
that was the thing.
It was a great thing.
Anyway, the only Blockbuster store still standing in the world is allowing three small groups to each spend a different night inside watching a marathon of their favorite movies. They have set up basically like a living room type setup in there. The pictures are actually pretty cool.
Yeah, they put a couch in there and got a TV and all that.
Yeah. Once the largest video chain store in the United States, they have partnered with Airbnb to offer sleepovers.
Yeah, it's super cheap.
And it does adhere to COVID-19 safety guidelines.
Sure.
If you're wondering. So a household of up to four people will have free reign of the store's entire film collection. Plus, you get pizza, Pepsi, and popcorn. Starting at 1 p.m. on this coming Monday, the 17th, residents of Deschutes County can go to airbnb.com/blockbuster and request to book one of these slumber parties on September 18th, 19th, or 20th.
But they're saying you have to be from Deschutes County. You can't.
They want to do it for their own.
They want to do it for the locals.
Yeah, because otherwise some Californian will come in there. And
people from Bend already hate those people. I don't know. It's kind of a cool thing. I don't know why I would ever.
The cost?
No, just I don't know why anyone would do it, but maybe some nostalgia. I wouldn't do it, but it's kind of a cool idea.
The cost is $3.99.
Yeah, which is what it used to cost to rent.
Actually, it's $4, but
to rent to rent a movie.
Yeah, a penny more than the $3.99 movie rental.
Would you rent out a
no? But I will say during COVID, you know, especially you dads out there looking for experiences with your kids, during COVID. That's one I could see you doing a family thing and say, hey, this would be kind of different and get them out of the house.
This is how it was. And the kids would think it's cool for like 2 minutes and then they'd get on their phone and bitch and moan about it.
It would just be like watching a movie at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Except less comfortable.
So I thought that story was kind of cool.
Well, I think it's kind of neat that the last Blockbuster in the country is in Bend. There was one in Alaska.
Yeah.
And John Oliver tried to save it. They put together like a memorabilia museum up there. Remember they bought like a Russell Crowe's jockstrap.
Yeah,
And sent it up there, but that one eventually shut down. So this
from
is it.
Gladiator.
No, it was from the Cinderella Man.
Oh, it wasn't Gladiator.
No, it was the jockstrap from Cinderella Man, where he played the old boxer. God, whose name escapes me. But I saw once I was reading a thing. Blockbuster had an opportunity to buy Redbox for something ridiculous like $20 million, and Blockbuster was like, no. That was a fly-by-night sort of operation, and then they put them out of business. Blockbuster didn't really see the that one coming. Redbox, and then, well, the Netflix thing.
And finally, Jerry, the Mosier Creek fire is a little more contained today. They're at about 10% contained on that bad boy. That's the one in between Dalles and Hood River.
Yeah.
971 acres estimated size now. 560 homes threatened. Evacuation orders have not changed.
Okay. So
the wind spread it a little bit to the east and the south.
But not too bad.
But they've been able to make some headway on that bad boy there.
That's good because it's,
Well, because it's fire and it burns things.
Doesn't it seem like the last couple of years, the entire country and in some cases the world has been on fire? And, if Mother Nature could just give us a break, we're dealing with some stuff right now. Just save the fires to next year, okay?
She's relentless.
Yeah, just, what? Cut us some slack
here,
man.
She's a relentless hoe.
Cut us some slack.
Keeps coming at us.
I know.
Like the Blazers offense. Just keeps coming at you.
Then again, we're doing some stuff to her,
whoa,
too.
That's pretty.
As Band of Dunes.
Yeah.
Mm. There are some beautiful, when you go down there, I don't know who buys them because they're like, $8,000. But some of like the portraits that are for sale down there of all the different holes, those things are really nice.
Right.
But I love photography and all that. But man, some of that stuff is just so expensive. I guess, when you're rich, but it's like you see this beautiful, it's like on like a piece of metal or something, or it's framed. You're like, man, I want to get that for my office. And it's $7,000. So no, I won't. Yeah, buying a used Accord for that.
That is in the news for August 14, 2020. We have the Hot 5 at 5, all the big news of the day in sports. Coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.